Welcome, friends. I'm so happy you've joined us today on the third episode of All the Things with Kristen Schindler. And today I'm welcoming my dear friend and high school bestie, Tiffany, as we explore the ways we all communicate love. Despite your current relationship situation, we have all been in situations when we feel that the lines of communication were down and calls just weren't getting through. Sometimes those closest to us just don't seem to get us, or at least that's how we feel. So today we are diving into the five love languages based on the New York Times bestselling book and online quiz by Dr. Gary Chapman. And we're going to look at how can understanding these love languages help our family dynamics and all relationships, both new and old. Well, welcome, Tiffany. I'm so glad you're here with me today. I'm so pumped. You and I go all the way back to sophomore year in high school. That is 32 years, sister. I did the math. That was long before we ever thought about being grownups and mamas. And we never even envisioned we would be doing a podcast, you know, 2,000 miles apart. Do you remember when we first met? Do you actually remember that?
You know, a couple things. First, good morning, and thank you so much for having me. I think we could have buffed out the 32 years thing. I mean, it really was like 12 years, right?
I had to do the math. I was like, well, it's been how many? And I was like, oh my goodness, 32 years. Because I went back to when we first met, not when we graduated high school, but like when we first met. And yeah. I was 15 years old. But do you remember? Because I remember clearly we've had conversations about when we first met.
It's crazy. I was thinking about this. I do not remember not ever liking you. Like, I don't know if that just, I just like you so much that I can't remember ever not liking you. But I legitimately, or I'm losing my memory, which I like to think is not the case, but I literally do not recall that. I believe you, but you're going to have to fill in the gaps because I don't remember.
Well, I remember a long time ago when we first met, you thought I was a jock and I was kind of like, you know, in awe of, you know, all things California at that time, because that's where we met in high school. And so you thought I was a jock. I thought you were like a California girl, like, you know, and at first we were kind of like, oh, but then I think that soon, I mean, that faded like real fast. It was just one of those initial kind of, you know, not judgments. I wouldn't say judgment, just kind of like observations. You know, we were kind of like feeling each other out and stuff. And then you and I ended up playing softball together for high school. And so you were a jock too. You were just kind of like a low-key jock. You weren't really wanting people to know how jockish you were at that time.
I wasn't scream upon the mountaintops jock.
No, you weren't. You were like a quiet, I might be a jock kind of person. But you were, I mean, I can say this now because, you know, it's not going to give anything away, but you actually were our high school mascot.
I was.
You were the Vanden Viking, which is crazy. Have you thought about doing a side gig like in your later years of like being a professional mascot somewhere?
Yeah, I've often thought, you know, if things don't work out, I can always fall back on mascotting.
I
was an incredible Viking. I really,
you were. That Viking love still stays strong. Well, as you can tell, moving around my whole life, I never have been one to have difficulty striking up conversation. It's like breathing for me, however. But I think because when I moved, just like when I met you, you know, I had to, as a military, you weren't a military, you know, military brat, as, you know, we're called, but you had lots of people coming in and out of your life because you lived by a military base. So, you know, and you're just, you have the gift of gab, just like I do. But when you move from place to place, you quickly realize that you have to adapt to your surroundings. And so you kind of find commonalities between other people. And then, you know, then you can talk about those types of things. So for me, talking and finding common ground is not difficult. But sometimes when we deal with our spouses and our kids, talking and really feeling like we're getting them or that they're really getting us can feel like a foreign language. Do you have that same situation with your family, would you say?
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, and what I, you know, what I do professionally, I interact and work with people all day long, in the space of communication and helping people communicate more effectively with one another. And it's fascinating to me when I come home and right, I'm supposed to be like a resident expert in communication. And yet sometimes I feel like 100% I'm thinking to myself, at any moment, Ashton Kutcher's going to walk in and say, you've been punked, because I don't understand how my kids, my husband do not get what I see as so basic. And
yeah, I think that's interesting. That's interesting. And I wonder if like lots of people feel that, like, depending on what their profession is. So, you know, with me having been an educator, you know, my whole life, I have the same thing coming home. You know, when I started homeschooling my kids, I was like, you know, people are like, oh, well, you know, you've been an educator for so many years. So, you know, I could never homeschool, but you've been an educator for so years. I'm like, that doesn't mean that my children are going to, you know, still writing is still like pulling teeth for them, you know? So I think it's interesting, you know, doctors, you know, their kids are probably like, you know, slamming M&Ms and Mountain Dew, you know, even though they're knowing that that's not healthy. I mean, it's probably just what it is.
For sure.
Well, recently I heard Dr. Chapman speak. I participated in a challenge called the Rise Up World Challenge, and it was a month-long challenge. They had different speakers talk about different topics. And so he talked about why he created this quiz and this book called The Five Love Languages. And I have a copy of the book. I read it a long, long time ago. But I was intrigued with the online quiz because I didn't know that they had a quiz for children and teens. So with homeschooling, I was trying to think of what could we do that would help us with our interpersonal skills, with siblings, with me. You know, I kind of thought that I understood, you know, what kind of love languages my children have. So basically, for those of you that don't know about the book, so there's five love languages that Dr. Chapman, basically, he would meet with people, and he was, you know, a family counselor, individual marriage counselor. And he found that there were like five ways that people were verbalizing to him how they didn't feel that their significant others, their partners, were understanding them. If they would just do such and such, I would feel loved. Or when they do such and such, I feel loved. And so he's categorized it into these five different love languages. The first one is quality time. And that is giving undivided attention, no distractions, no tech, which, Tiff, I don't know about you, but tech is an issue in our house in terms of having to turn it off. It's like, for my kids, it's like breathing. They just feel like it's just, they have to be part of tech. Do you have that same issue in your house? Oh,
it's madness. Yeah. And it's, and it's a fine balance, right? Because you don't want to, part of you is like, that's it. Technology is done. We are removing all technology from the house.
Yes.
And then you think to yourself, well, wait a minute, you know, then you don't, it's just a tough balance because, right, you know, especially now, right, this is the tie that kids have for the social networking with their friends. It's just, it is a different time for sure in the era, living in the era of technology. But I think raising kids, right, that's a whole other element of consideration that you and I didn't even have to explore as kids, right? We didn't even have pagers, right? I don't know if anyone remembers pagers, but we're dating ourselves. But
I remember there was a guy from high school that had it was like the first of cell phones. It was like this ginormous thing. And it was like, we all looked at that person and we were like, what is on his face? Yeah. But yeah, I think tech for me, I was thinking about it the other day and it's like, I have a bag of sugar in my pantry for cooking. and for baking. But I don't sit down at the table with a spoon and just like shovel the sugar into my mouth on a daily basis.
How come? I don't understand.
Well, you know, yeah, I know it's not, I've read that that's kind of bad. But do you see what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Technology is the same. Like we can sprinkle it. It can make our lives better. But if we just sit down and consume nothing but technology, it's not going to be good for us in many different ways. It's going to be unhealthy for us. So quality time is difficult. So the next one is words of affirmation. And I love the quote that Dr. Chapman said. He said, life and death is in the power of the tongue. And we know that that was not his quote, but that was a quote that he shared on the talk that I heard him of speaking about. The next one is gifts, and gifts is universal in all cultures. Japan, for example, when my mom and dad lived there, if my mom and dad gave a gift to someone, say it was their anniversary, and my mom would get a gift for their friends who were native Japanese, then they would in turn give my mom a gift back as a thank you for the gift. So it was like a constant circle of gift giving.
Oh, wow.
And it was to show appreciation. Yeah, it was really interesting. The next is acts of service. And we know actions speak louder than words. And the last is physical touch. So the quiz has different quizzes for different age groups. Those are just ones for kids. And there's actually one for littler kids. I don't know if you did that one with Piper or not. She's a little bit little. But then there's one for kids that are my daughter's age between like the 9 and 12. So there was like, you know, 0 to 8 or I can't remember the exact age groupings. But then there's one for teens. And then there's one if you're a single person. And then there's one if you're a married couple. And the married couple one, you don't have to do together. It's just the kind of questions that they pose are more for being in a married relationship. So did you have your family take the quiz?
I did. One for Piper. So the children one is ages 5 to 8, but there's a recommendation for the below fives, which I did with Piper, who's 4. I was really surprised by my 13-year-old and my husband's results. It was really good for me to see, and it put a lot of pieces together for me for sure.
When you look at your children, do your children favor one of you over the other, or are they a combination in their love languages of both you and your husband?
So my son's results were exactly the same scores as my husband. So yeah, my son is 37% quality time, and 32%, his were he words of affirmation, and then his third was physical. Words of affirmation and physical touch were very close for him. And I could have, if you would have asked me before he took the quiz, I would have thought for sure that my son feels love through words of affirmation or physical touch, because it seems like at his age, all he cares about is video games. And it was actually very eye-opening for me as a mom. And I felt really like, how could I not know that about my son? Right. And, but when I really peel it back and I think about the opportunities, if I really, really think about it, I do see that my son, he lights up when he's got that dedicated, uninterrupted one-on-one time. And for purposes of spending, you know, favoring one over another, the one thing that I can say too is my son does prefer, he's much better one-on-one. He prefers that one-on-one. So for instance, he really would prefer to have quality time with just me, or quality time with just his dad. And then he likes to have the quality time as a family, but he's a kid that really needs to have that connection, that one-on-one connection as well. So, was definitely an opportunity for me to sit back and think about some adjustments that I need to make as his mom, for sure.
Yeah, I think what I think is interesting is, so your love languages are how you feel loved. And so I actually did not know, and I did not, you know, when I was guessing, oh, I think my oldest child, his love language is probably, you know, X, and I was off. It was not. But how they feel love and how they show love can be two very different things. One of the things that I did with my kids is that, you know, we're on our second year of homeschooling. I know many people are right now finishing a spring of crisis schooling. And I call it that on purpose because I don't want people who are listening who have been thrown into e-learning and schooling from home to think that this is what our norm is, because it's not. It's not our normal either. And so, you know, we've been struggling because we're not able to go and do the things that we normally do. We're part of a co-op and, you know, we're not able to go out and do the things that we normally do as homeschool, as a homeschool family. And so, you know, my children are two teens, and then my daughter, who is not a teen yet, although that's debatable on many days, because she just thinks that she's a teenager. So it was interesting because we use this as kind of an interpersonal communication, kind of a class in a way. I mean, it was very informal, but so my results, I had very, very close, and I don't have my percentages just because I'm a slacker and you're not.
Well, that's true.
But mine are, yeah, I'm glad we got that out in the open. Words of affirmation and quality time were my two, and they were very neck and neck. They were like 33 and 32% or something like that. Followed by acts of service. So those are mine, which is not, you know, it's not surprising, especially for me. I'm a lover of language. You know, I am an author. I love to write. I love to talk to people. So that didn't surprise me so much. And quality time, because that's just, you know, how I love to spend time with people. My husband was neck and neck, touch and quality time, followed by words of affirmation. So those were all very, very high on his. So what was interesting is looking at our children, my oldest son was exactly like me, but flip-flopped. So all three kids, their very top one was quality time across the board. My oldest son, it was quality time and words of affirmation. My middle son was quality time and touch, which none of us were surprised, because after everybody took the quiz, I started with my oldest son and said, you know, we took the quiz together online. And then I said, what do you think your brother is going to have? He's like, oh, definitely touch, because he's very demonstrative in, you know, he's a cuddler, he's a snuggler, you know, he even jokes and, you know, like come up and, you know, squeeze my cheeks and tell me how cute I am, you know, kind of silly type of stuff. That's just his personality. So they, both of them, my oldest and my daughter, said, oh, he's definitely going to be touch. You know, daughter was quality time and words of affirmation. And so she is exactly like my oldest son, which is really interesting, because she and he, they, all my children get along, but just like siblings, you know, they're always going to have squabbles and, you know, whatever. But if you look at the way that, like, the normal day-to-day relationship, the quality time, words of affirmation, they tend to be a little bit more even keeled in their relationship with each other. There, it's not a lot of highs and lows. There's not a lot of, they just seem to be more even keeled in how they deal with each other. Now, I just found it fascinating, because neither of them, you know, because the results were so similar. However, my oldest son is the one that I thought for sure it was going to be acts of service. was going to be in there. And that was like his very, like, it was like number four. And like followed by gifts. Like my kids, like my daughter specifically had 0% for gifts. Zero. So I jokingly said, well, no boy's ever going to be able to buy her. You know, like they'll be like, I don't know what happened. I bought her a lovely bracelet. And she didn't, it didn't mean anything, you know? So I thought that that was interesting. But my, but I think what's interesting is that the touch component is something that, I know there's a phenomenon for moms, and I've read about it, where you can kind of feel quote unquote touched out. Like you just feel like, I've said all the things today. I've done all the things and I just, everybody's been climbing all over me or whatever. And it depends on, you know, the age of your kids and where you are in the season of mothering, obviously. But it's interesting that that touch component, because I did not have touch. It was like my third highest, or my fourth highest, I'm sorry. And then gifts was last. So if I was having to think about my son, if he wasn't as demonstrative with his touch, and he was just someone who craved touch, but really didn't like overtly go after it, I could see where he would be basically, it would be like a plant being dehydrated without getting its proper nutrients.
Oh, for sure.
But he craves it. So it's clear that that's something that he wants, but, you know, and I don't know if that would be, you know, if that's how most people are, if that's their love language, if they are going to crave that, but not necessarily, depending on, you know, the household that they grew up in or whatever. So I think it's really interesting, but it also gave us a chance to talk about when you know what your love language is, speaking about that and making sure that the other people in your life, you know, as you start having relationships, as you, you know, look for a partner, making sure that those things are present. And also understanding that when you meet someone, their love language and your love language are not always going to be the same. Actually, Dr. Chapman says that it's actually rare for people to find someone who shares the same love language as them. And I think that that's interesting. So you and your husband don't have the same love language. Neither does my family. And do you think that that, looking back now, can you see how that has perhaps, you know, been a ticklish situation when communication arises?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think, you know, I think there's what ties into this is, you know, even more so is, you know, what I like to call our backpack, right? And we'll talk a little bit more about the backpack and how communication styles in general can even add an additional layer to this. But, you know, you think about your backpack as this kind of invisible thing that you carry around. We all have one on. And some days our backpack is, we don't even notice it's there, right? It's, you know, it's light as a feather. We just skip around, no problem. Other days, it's so heavy. Sometimes we feel like we can't even get out of bed, right? It's just full. It's heavy, maybe from something that day, something the day before. And in the backpack is all of our life experiences, all of our joy, our sorrow. And if you think about Piper, my daughter, who's 4 years old, her backpack is filled with, you know, Barbies and Peppa Pig and, right, it's pretty light as a feather for the most part, although she has her own, you know, things that ruffle, make her backpack heavier. And what makes her backpack heavier is maybe she gets in trouble, right? She's very tender and you can tell when her backpack's a little heavier because she's sad and she's upset. Fast forward, right, to my backpack. So what was in my backpack in 2011 looks different than what's in my backpack now in 2020. And the reason that's important is what's in your backpack impacts the way you view the world. And like I said, the way you view the world is the way you're going to answer questions. And so when I think about my husband, and I think about where his priorities were in 2011 versus where they are now, in combination with what I know his communication style is, it really puts the pieces together for me where we've had a rub and where the, you know, unfortunately, that circle of conflict can start. And so for me, I'm an acts of service. I'm very positive. I give a lot of positive praise. So the way that I receive love also is the way I show love. I like to do things for others. I like to really lift people up with positive words. And so when I don't get that, it's a real rub for me. And I'll give it a real world example, which maybe some of our listeners can relate to as it with our spouses in particular. So, you know, I like to get things done. I'm a, you know, let's get up, let's conquer the day, let's do X, Y, and Z. And my husband and I were having this period of time where I just felt like all he wanted to do, quote unquote, is just sit around. And, you know, I felt embarrassed to say this, but it's real life. It's like, oh my gosh. Like I felt like he was so needy. Like all you want to do is just sit on this couch. Well, I don't want to sit on this couch. I want to get out and I want to do things, right? What I feel like a big doof now, because all he wanted was just that's the way that he felt bonded to me and connected to me. And is he just wanted that undivided time. And he needed that in order to be motivated to, you know, do some of the other things, right? And not that I'm creating some type of a crutch or an enablement, but it's a very real thing for him. That's how his love tank gets filled, right? And, you know, some of that comes from his backpack, right? So he lost his mom in 2006. And, you know, he then was followed by, he lost, you know, what was his father figure a year after. And 3 years ago, he lost his youngest brother. So for him, his shift in physical touch and words of affirmation is much more shifted to quality time, because I think that there is an element of really wanting to feel and enjoy that time with the ones that he loves and really embrace those moments. So that was a lot of talking, but all of this to say that there's so much that goes into this that creates this space for people and how they feel love and how they communicate about love, and that can create misunderstanding and conflict, and it's complicated yet so simple if you are paying attention and plugged into it. It's really,
yeah, I think you hit it on the head. I think it is like when I started doing the quizzes with my kids and with my husband, you know, there are times that I've said to my husband, why does it have to be so hard? Right. And it isn't in the grand scheme of things, but it's just like, even the simplest things, like we are literally speaking the same language. We speak English. But when I started really thinking about it, there are times that when my kids are like at each other, right, and they're like nitpicking and, you know, or whatever, and verbally, it's a verbal thing. Like we don't allow them to put their hands on each other in our house. That's definitely not allowed. But sometimes their words, the way that they can be like cutting to each other and just not life-giving and not filled with grace and kindness. And that just gets under my skin so badly. And there's been times where when my husband will say something to my kids, and it's just like, it just grates me to, you know, that rub that you're talking about. I'm just like, I just were like, ah, you know, and when I started, when I thought about it, I thought, yeah, because yep. those are not affirming words. Those are not affirming words. And so and after we did this quiz, I remember I was sitting on the couch and my touch boy wanted to snuggle. And so he was there snuggling and stuff. And it was in the morning time and we had done the quiz the day before. And, you know, a little while later, his sister gets up and she's, you know, shuffling out and we're sitting on the couch together. He did not want her to encroach on his time. He was like, I'm snuggling with mom. I'm having some time with her. And so it was that quality time. And it was that touch. It was like filling his love tank. And yep. she had just come in and just, you know, the pump stopped pumping. You know, he was feeling he's not going to get a full tank right now, you know. And but so then that started. And I just was like, then I felt so agitated. And I was just like, and it clicked for me. And I said, listen, do you know how you want to have snuggles? Because that fills your love tank. And for my daughter, I said, for you, you like that quality time. You want me to do chalk art with me. You know, you want to watch a baking show together. Those are things that fill that tank. And for my tank, using kind words fills my tank. But when you guys are doing this to each other, it's like you have opened a little trap door of my tank and all of my love tank is being emptied. And it frustrates me. And I feel like, oh, and I start feeling like this wave of, you know, it's almost like I'm going to run out. Like you're, you know, and they kind of got it at that moment. They understood it. And so, and the same thing happened with my husband. Like, it's a funny example, but you know, we have five people in our house. So laundry is a never ending chore. And so a couple of days ago, he woke up and he had been on nights. And so he got up and the first thing he said was, you know, how are we doing on laundry? Because we all help with laundry in our household. And before I could say, I've done two loads, I have another one in the wash, you know, whatever, he said, how are we doing on laundry? Is there some downstairs that's mildewing in the washer?
Ignite.
That's not affirming words. Okay. That just for the listeners, that's not affirming. So like starting the day off with that. Now, in his defense, that has happened in the past. We've talked about that on my very first episode that, you know, he's from the school of you should only have to do laundry one time, like run it one time. And, you know, sometimes when it's in the basement, I don't always hear the buzzer saying it's done and, you know, life happens. So we oftentimes have to go a couple more, you know, rounds with the laundry, but it just really cut me. And I was like, oh, you know? And so later in the day, he wanted me to cut his hair and he's physical touch, right? Quality time and physical touch. So me cutting his hair kind of was going to fill that love tank in both of those ways because I was going to be, you know, cutting his hair and everything. So he said, hey, can you cut my hair? You know, he had to work the next day. Can you cut my hair? And I kind of was like hemming and hawing. And I finally said, fine, you know, I'll cut your hair. And now, mind you, I'm not a professional hairstylist. So I, you know, had to brush up on my YouTube videos from when I used to cut my boy's hair when they were little. So I was trying to pay attention to make sure I didn't mess up his hair, you know, because he had to leave the house, unlike the rest of us who could stay home. And so I'm cutting his hair and I'm not talking a lot. And he's like, wow, you're pretty quiet for a barber. And I said, well, I'm trying to work and make sure I don't, you know, scalp you. But then I kind of playfully said, so how's your wife? He said, my barber doesn't ask me about my wife. I said, well, I'm a female barber. So I'm asking you, how's your wife? And he's like, well, he's actually a little cool to me today. And, you know, something about the laundry. And I said, oh, Well, have you been using affirming words to her today? I hear that's important for, you know, for some people, their love language. So we kind of playfully, jokingly, you know, said it. But my point is that when I could look at it from that perspective, it made a lot more sense as to how I was reacting and how I could verbalize to the children why it was making me feel the way that I was feeling. And, you know, verbalizing those emotional components are the hardest things for people. It's why relationships don't work. It's why, you know, people feel like, oh, it's just hopeless. You know, they just don't get me, or, you know, whatever. But another thing that I thought of when you were talking about like your son and video games and things like that, I think that going back to the media component and technology, like if quality time is one of their love languages, and if as parents we're busy, you know, when normal circumstances are happening and, you know, you come home from work and you're doing whatever, like you could see why the Instagram, the Snapchat, all of those, you know, different ways of communicating, if quality time is really what they want, but they're getting that quality time with their friends directly to them with instant messages and stuff. Although I don't consider that as an adult quality time. For some people, that's going to be their quality time.
You know, the willingness to want to understand, right? So I think that when you're in any relationship, whether it's a, you know, a marriage, or you're dating, or it's with your children, or it's with your best friend, like you and I, you know, that place of wanting to understand and trying to find as many different, you know, pieces, right, to the puzzle that is us as human beings, to put it together, and you look at it and go, oh, that's what that is, right? When you get all these puzzle pieces, you're trying to put them together and you're like, gosh, I think I have an idea what this is going to be when it's all said and done. And then you put it together and you're like, oh, how did I not know that, right? It's like, how did I not know that that was what this puzzle was going to be? And I think that it's coming again, you know, operating from a place of wanting to understand. And, you know, this is all it has to do with mindfulness and mindset too, right? So are you a person that is going to immediately take things personal? Or if you work on this mindset of seeking to understand instead of seeking to judge, or it's literally impossible for you to have a negative and positive thought at the same time. And so if you can start to put the pieces together of understanding those people in your life, and the love languages being a very powerful tool for connection with those you love, you start shifting. So I'm thinking about your story with your husband and kind of that playfulness, because I think what that does, you know, you two understanding each other's love languages, is it doesn't take the sting out, right, of him going, you know, is there a load of laundry molding in there? But it does allow a space for you to talk about the language instead of the person, right? So for me, I have words of affirmation as a very close second for me. So, you know, but let's talk acts of service, which is mine. I'll give you an example with me. So I'm running around like a crazy person, I feel like, right? Garrett's on the computer. Greg is sitting in front of YouTube, you know, watching God knows what. And Piper is just singing in her own little world. Meanwhile, I've got a load of laundry. I'm doing the dishes. I'm thinking about dinner. I'm folding the laundry, trying to figure out how I'm going to hang it up in my closet. So I decide, why would I do that? So I throw it in a pile that I'll get to later, which we all know you never will. It'll sit there for a while, right? And then I'm like, oh yeah, I got to go check this other thing that I was doing. The point is, you feel like you're running around, right? And you talked a lot about this in one of your first podcasts, and you talk about it and all the things. So I have all the things going on, and I feel like everybody around me is just sitting on their patukases. I'm pretty sure that's not a word, but they're, what happens to mom? Mom blows a gasket, right? I don't feel good about that. Yep. And at the end of the day, now, you know, for Greg, right? For instance, he did some projects over the weekend. We did those together. And he was like, well, I think I've performed some pretty good acts of service today, which probably means I deserve some quality time, right? So you start to use the language as this way for you to talk about it, right? Instead of going, you know, you don't care about anything. You just let me do everything, right? I may have, you guys just let me do everything and you all just sit around and do nothing, right? Or Greg, my husband, with quality time could say, you know, your priorities are all messed up. All you want to do is clean the house or, you know, that creates a more personal attack on each other instead of going, oh, right, this makes you feel loved.
Right. Well, it's so interesting that that's exactly, I've seen that's exactly what this taking this quiz has helped give, like even me as an adult, but especially my kids. And it's actually quite a funny example because my son had he had two times since we've taken this quiz. And one time he was doing this big project. He worked for a whole week doing this project to earn money for his computer. And it was a long drawn out process. And I was very proud of him for going through all of the steps for an entire week to do this project. And midweek, I said to him, I said, buddy, I'm so proud, right? Words of affirmation. That's what I do. I'm so proud of your hard work, your dedication. I know, and this was midweek, so we were not finished with it yet, and it wasn't fun anymore. Like, it's like, we're tired. Everybody's ready for it to be done. And it's like, but you got to keep going, right? And so I said, I'm so proud of you for your dedication, da-da-da-da. And he just looked at me, and he said, Mom, thank you so much for that, and I really appreciate those words. But for my love tank to really be filled, I'm going to need a snuggle later. So I just want you to know that. And I was just like, and it was sweet, right? And I understood it. And so fast forward to 2 days ago where we got a crisis kitten. And we've never had a cat before. And he was sitting on the couch and he was snuggling with her. And she's so tiny and so cute. And he just looked at me and he had like, his eyes were just brimming. And he said, Mom, snuggling with her is really, really filling my love tank. And it's like quality time. We're all sitting, he's snuggling, the physical touch of the cat. And I just was like,
right.
It just like clicked. Like, yes, this is what it is. But it also made me think about, you know, I have three kids, two of them are the same. So let's fast forward to what our lives would look like if we weren't taking this quiz, if we didn't have this information, because we know that information is equals power, and knowing we can make changes to alter things that aren't going well. But let's just say my husband and I both had jobs where we didn't get home until 6 o'clock at night. And everybody had all the modern conveniences. Everybody was texting. Let's say we even had a family text, you know, stream where we were making sure that all five of us were on the same page. Like, good morning. I hope you guys have a great day. You know, good communication. Like, I packed you this, or this is here, or we'll be doing this. Asking them about their quizzes or their tests or how their day was. And if all of that was happening, but two of my kids, if gifts and words of affirmation were their love languages, and if I got them the newest iPhone, if I got them the newest AirPods or whatever it was, that's the new greatest thing. If I got them for all three, but if two of them having gifts and me talking to them every day, if those were their love languages, but if my third was quality time and touch, it's not going to matter that I'm giving them all the same things if that one child is not speaking the same love language. They are not going to feel loved. It's not going to register. Their tank is going to be empty. And they are going to choose, for self-preservation, they're going to choose to fill that tank up, because that's how you keep going. Even in a car, you have to have the fuel to keep going. And so we as humans need that emotional fuel tank to be filled up so we can tackle all the things that we're doing. And so it just made me think about families where, if they don't realize why their children are perhaps acting in a certain way or choosing to fill that tank with unhealthy things, even when they have other siblings, and then that can cause, those siblings to sometimes be pitted against each other, and like, I don't know why, but that one's, that kid is always getting in trouble, or, you can see it, you've heard it, you've seen it, we've seen it play out in movies and in TV shows and just real life. And so it really made me as a parent think about the importance of recognizing, reframing, redefining, and reaffirming what those things are that make us all individuals and make us all unique. I think that's the bigger thing, is that looking at what exactly are the things that are going to, and we say in our family, we're calling it our love take. So what are the things that I can do as your mom, or I can do as your spouse? What can I do that's going to fill that love tank up so that part of you feels full and complete? And then how that, kind of fills over to other parts of your life. So why don't you go ahead, Tiff? Why don't you tell us what your results were and what your husband's results were? And then we'll kind of move down to where your kids fell, and we can talk about those.
Sure. Yeah. And it's interesting when I think about this, and I think about just communication in general. And I know we'll be talking a little bit more about that, perhaps in the future, is when you're going through this. For me, I can just start with my own self-reflection. So I went through mine, and I took this quiz many years ago. Gosh, I guess it was back in 2011. And at the time when my results came back, I wasn't surprised by my results back in 2011. And I took it, of course, again more recently, just a few days ago, in fact. And what occurred to me, and I only call this out because I think that this is relevant, is I think that when you are answering questions, like any question, right, you can only answer those questions for where you are in your mindset at that time in your life. Your brain literally answers in response to kind of the world that you're living in at that time. And the reason I call that out is my results were very close. I had 37% acts of service, 32% words of affirmation. And when I took it back in 2011, it was completely the other way around. So words of affirmation were higher, and acts of service were secondary. And when I think about that, and I think about what's kind of changed for me, right? So life has become a whole lot more busy since 2011 for me. And I wonder if, when I'm thinking about this and we're talking through this with those listening, when you look at those results and you're reflecting upon that, thinking about what's going on maybe in your world and that could feed into those differences, right? Because my husband, for instance, back in 2011, he had taken this as well. And at the time, his results were super high on the spectrum of physical touch, words of affirmation, and now he's off the charts quality time. And I can tell you his priorities and who he was in 2011. And I use those words intentionally because it looked very different in 2011, just his kind of evolution and things that he's really worked on in himself over these several years. And quality time for him is paramount. You know, having that undivided time with the people he loves. And I just, and I, and not to be verbose, but I think that that's a really interesting thing to point out, is we, our brains as human beings can only answer questions for the frame of reference and experiences that we have at that time. And so I think that that's, a, you know, really cool that I had taken it back in 2011 just to kind of see some of those things. It's, it was eye-opening for me. It was, I really enjoyed that conversation with my husband, and we talked about it, quite a bit. It was pretty interesting.
Do you have any closing thoughts, things that you'd like to share as we close up this first podcast?
Yeah,
that you're
I
with
think
me
that
with?
Number one, this is just really good stuff. And I think the only thing I would close with is just encouraging those listening to go out. And the quiz is simple. It's fast. I mean, to get a 13-year-old to sit down and do it, and my husband to get down, sit down and do it, it's painless. And, but what it provides is it's, you can't put a word to it. I mean, I want to echo your sentiments for sure. I think that it really, information creates understanding, and understanding creates connection. And I think it's so powerful. And so I would encourage all of you to give it a shot. And certainly, you know, with any questions, reach out to this smart little gal here, who's teaching us all to be better humans. But thanks for having me. It's been always great talking to you, sister. And I've enjoyed the topic.
Thank you so much for joining me. And this isn't the last time that we'll hear from you, because we're actually going to make this a two-part. Next time, you're going to actually come back, and we are going to build on today's podcast of love languages. And we are going to look towards communication styles and how that affects how people around us feel loved and valued in our relationships, because that's really your expertise in terms of what you've chosen to do for your life's work. Also, remember that if you've liked this podcast, please leave us some reviews. And if this episode spoke to your heart, please follow it and share it with someone who you think would be encouraged by it as well. For more information about this topic and links to the free online quiz, as well as links to Dr. Chapman's website and book, please go to my website, kristinleeschindler.com, and click on podcast. You'll find the links under episode 3, The Love Tank. And once again, I just hope that you are encouraged by today's message. I hope that you are able to take some time with your family and yourself and take the quiz and get some information that's going to help you make changes that will benefit your family and those you love.